The Treasury Star Parade. Produced under the personal direction of William A. Bacher, with Mr. Alfred Lunt, Al Goodman in his orchestra, and Henry Hall as our master of ceremonies.
This is Henry Hall, ladies and gentlemen, with another of the programs brought to you by the Treasury Department. Several programs ago, I mentioned the fact that very soon, perhaps, someone might write a ballad of Bataan, a ballad of those brave men and women who made their last stand at Corregidor, the immortal battalions of Bataan. Ladies and gentlemen, that poem has been written by one of America's finest young poets, and your Treasury Department has invited one of America's ablest actors to interpret it. It is my rare privilege to present Mr. Alfred Lunt in Norman Rustin's Ballad of Bataan.
History is a branding iron. Burn this day deeply into our memory. Teach us with your fire. Strike with your iron so that we may never forget. Burn into our minds and hearts the names and deeds of our men and women of Bataan. This is a day we will always remember. This is the day they came out of the east like poisoned arrows and struck. Starting this day, we sing of a new spirit of new heroisms made by our men and women in battle. Across the dangerous seas, we shout hello. Over the great curve of the earth, we send greetings.
To you, Douglas MacArthur, tall and calm with the confidence of cannon. And you, Jonathan Wainwright, warrior who stood like a rock in Manila Bay. To you, soldiers, living and dead, Americans all who held out on that island, who fought on the beaches and the stone hills until you were blown out of the sea, here is your poem.
Traveling high and blue over the Pacific, bomb racks fully loaded, business strictly confidential, no advance notice, so sorry. And a beautiful morning, too, Sunday, the day for rest, for sleepers, for prayer. They're smiling diplomats in Washington, the dagger behind the smile, the knife hidden in the sleeve, to strike. That's how it sounded by air. But they moved on the ground as swiftly. No sound effects for that. The reptile moving through his jungle makes no noise, and they were as reptiles moving through the Philippine underbrush with cotton pads around their bodies. Others painted green, hidden in the trees with their green telescopic rifles. And others, the smiling tourist type and the innocent fishermen on their island schooled for this treachery, now strike. The command comes through, attack Bataan in force, take Corregidor in a week. Bataan, Corregidor. Admiral Toho, those are the names, will break your knuckles. Oh, great Mikado, you will learn to bleed on those names. Hirohito, wipe that smile from your face, because it won't be a weekend job for your boys. What were the orders? Boom from Tokyo, wipe out American garrison, take Corregidor in a week. How long ago was that? What happened, Tokyo, old boy? Did you say Corregidor? Tell it to General Douglas MacArthur. Tell it to Jonathan Wainwright. Tell it to the Marines. Yes, and tell it to the Navy Detachment Cavite Bay, who manned their guns with decks underwater. Tell it to the 31st Infantry, the boys from California and Tank Corps from Illinois, and guardsmen from New Mexico and points north and east. You scared them all right. Yes, sir. You had them running for cover. Straight from the foxholes of Bataan, meet the welcoming committee. The population greets you with flowers. Step right this way and get yours. And did you tell it to Captain Wormuth, the one-man army with its Tommy gun? He's scared, too. Listen. I'd like to get 100 at a time, easier than shooting clay pigeons on a string. I met one of them midgets in the dark and left a grenade in his hand, and where do you suppose he is now? Or maybe you'd better tell it to that honorable Jap commander who couldn't live in a world full of American courage and fell on his sword like a madman. Yes, and tell it to those 10,000 Yanks and 27,000 Filipino scouts. Brown and white they stand together under the blazing sun and the hot winds, and the sun burns them all one color. And their blood is of the same color. And as long as there's enough ground and guns, they'll fight like no other army in the world. And they did. They were rookies, most of them. This was their first war. They crouched at the noise at first, and they handled their guns like farmers, but they caught on fast. They knew the land and their footing. They fought stripped to the waist and grinning. This was their corner of the USA. This was Massachusetts and Minnesota. They fought along the Main Street jungles, house by house, door by door. At first, it was easy. There was food and water and fruit. There was plenty of quinine. There was room for retreat and a plan. Slowly, slowly, backward into Bataan, into the jungles and hills of Bataan. Hills at their back, then the sea, the bristling final harbor, Corregidor, the heart of this great body, calmly beating. Weeks rolled with a hot blue sky into months, and the dry wind came in from the sea at noon like a blowtorch. And they fought 1,000 noons. They fought for every yard of ground, wisely, shrewdly, without fear, outnumbered 10-1. They slugged it out in a slow, bitter retreat and hold, leaving the dead where they fell, striking out, stabbing into the night. Riding out to meet the Jap tanks with the head-hunting Igorots tied to the turrets to guide them. And above, heroic and alone, the last four P-40 fighter planes riding out with their grinning pilots, their patched wings and tired motors, riding out to give them hell. That's fine, baby. Breathe deeply. Let's have all the horsepower you've got. There's a Jap cruiser underneath your wings, and we're going down to say hello. And there were others, all brave, army doctors who worked for the ground rocking, Dr. Adamo and Dr. Schwartz and others, and the women nurses who fought alongside the men without food or sleep. Yes, even with malaria and the quinine gone, quinine, precious food of the jungle, gone, malaria striking with its silent terror. They rammed the short finger of Bataan at point-blank range day and night. They pounded the sky like a drum hour after hour, day after day. They controlled the sky and the sea, filtered through the lines like locusts. They kept on coming. They took their time. They had plenty of time. And corpses? This was only an island, a target, and there was no raid road back for our men. Home was the ground beneath them. Their life was the length of the island. And there still was some time left. Time to think of Mary and Pop and the green lawn ready for mowing and lakes in the summertime and love and how the Brooklyn Dodgers were hitting. Time to sing a little. I don't want to set the world on fire. Just one little flame in Tokyo will do. You listening at home, safe in your chair, surrounded by your safety, who do not feel the bullets strike or the sun's whip on your back, how can you know these weeks of battle? How can you feel the bayonet turn in the wound or gangrene eating the bone away? What image describes the grenade exploding in a foxhole or the loneliness of an evening? How do we tell the anguish of thirst? How is the leaking blood weighed and described? And at night, even then, peace was absent. The sniper's bullets were everywhere, smokeless and sudden. Artillery made sleep impossible. Hunger stood like a shadow beside each man, dimming their eyes, and the rifles faltered. The hand began to lose its power. Water and fruit were gone. Malaria hung like a weight on their eyelids. They began to slaughter the horses. The body is only flesh and blood. Though the spirit is a steel spine, the body can be broken. Hunger and thirst and fever can bring even a giant down. The enemy, broke through, pushing them back to the water, and still they fought along the wild strip of beach, fighting till the waves went over them. Those who had the strength, men and nurses, tried to swim the 3 mile bay to Corregidor, tried to fight the shark-infested waters under the roaming eye of planes. Oh, you flying assassins in your armored sky, look away this time. Don't see them. Did anyone say mercy? Does the new order deal in sentiment? Did the swimmers expect any mercy, even in the cool, wonderful water? Does anyone ask mercy from murderers? There's the kind of mercy, the pure-blooded Aryan kind.
They tried to take Corregidor by sea, but the sea was another wall. They tried to take it by air, but the sky held. They took it by the back door of hunger and thirst, the back door of disease. They took it only after the men were stunned by bombardment. 10 days and 10 nights until the island seemed to crack in half, with the ground smashed beneath them, and the sun darkened by planes.
Our fathers of the living past, these are your sons. Remember them with Bunker Hill and Valley Forge. Tom Paine, Jefferson, Lincoln, your words live again. Your words are poems shining on our bayonets, and our bayonets are fixed. Our first heroes, sleep. Sleep where you fell, in the warm waters of Subic Bay or on the sands of Lugayan Beach, in the gum tree forests of Bataan, in the tall grass or on the hard road, whether painfully or swiftly taken, you left a message taller than yourself. You have destroyed the lie that free men die easily in our time. Soldier, can you hear the sound of men marching? We are coming back to Bataan. We are marching over land and water to strike with our continent of power and smash them to earth and clear the earth forever of its hate, its killers, once and for all time and forever. The thunder gathers, the lightning will strike.
History is a branding iron, and the courage and fortitude of the men and women of Bataan will burn in our hearts forever. They are doing their share. Are we doing ours? Our call is the War Bond Quota Call. It has been sounded throughout the nation, in every state, in every county and city and town and farm. $1 of every 10 must go into the war chest of our country, invested in United States war bonds. This is not an appeal, not an oratorical urge, but a statement of every American's duty. Every one of us must make plans now to meet each individual quota, 10% of all income, all of it, from every source. Put $1 out of every 10 you get in United States war bonds. Remember, this is your country. Keep it yours.
The United States Treasury Department thanks the distinguished artists who gave their talents to this transcribed performance. Mr. Alfred Lunt, Mr. Henry Howell, Norman Roskin for his stirring poem, Ballad of Bataan, and this station for the use of its facilities. The orchestra and chorus were under the direction of Al Goodman. Additional writing by Malcolm Meacham and Violet Atkins. This is Larry Elliott speaking.